Today's Palm Sunday. We celebrate. If you have your Bible, you can turn with me to John chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. John chapter 12, beginning verse 12. A lot of things are happening in the world right now. If you kept up with the news this past week, our president was actually in the Middle East. He was actually in Israel. A lot of things going on right now. The stuff in Syria that's going on right now, and it should be a time of prayer for us, a time of as we pray for those who are in authority over us in our nation, and as we pray for His church throughout the world that is struggling in some parts, thriving in others. I want to share a couple of testimonies with you. I talked with CY several times. We were able, through the contributions that people made here, to send a little over $1,700 back with CY. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. Along with all of those telephones, which he told me yesterday, all of them have been distributed. And what they do, how they change out the SIM cards and do all that, I don't understand, but he said, Brother Dusty, don't worry about it. It'll happen. And I said, okay, I trust you on that, because in Nigeria, necessity is the mother of invention. All of the stuff made it through customs, the computers that we sent, printer, you know, all the things, the gifts that you sent. Now, it took a little reorganizing of Dr. O'Carey and CY. When I got to the airport out there, they had CY's suitcases all open, and they were swapping stuff from one to the other so you can get the weight right. But all of it got through over there, and it was great. CY's already had a meeting over there. He's already done the micro-business training in one area. I mean, no grass grows under CY's feet. He's already talked with some folks over there. He's going to be doing a survey this week about church planting over there. So the Lord is moving. He has blessed that time that CY was here, and we just praise Him. I got a text from Pastor Rock, Beatrice Rock, who is pastor of the Community Baptist Church in Owerri. Church that we have helped before. This is a church that Brother Clement Almighty, Dr. O'Carey's uncle, who has been here, that he's the father of that church. But Pastor Rock had lost his phone and was not able to afford to get another one. We sent him some money also. He said his wife had almost died. She was in bed. And they live up north, or his family does. He's going to be graduating in May, by the way, from theology school there outside of Owerri, and wants us to be praying for him. But through the money that we sent, the Lord has blessed him to be able to get some medications and other things, and his wife is doing much better. So the Lord is using all of that we sent, and it's a blessing. I just wanted to let you know all that, so you can continue to pray in that regard. As we think about this week and all the things that are going on, today we traditionally celebrate as Palm Sunday, when Jesus came into Jerusalem. And if you're at John 12 there, we'll read 12 through 19 from the NIV. It says, "The next day, the crowd had come for the feast, heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And they took palm branches and they went out to meet him and they shouted. What did they shout? Hosanna. Which means what? God save. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and he sat upon it. As it is written, do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming and seated on a donkey's colt. And at first his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and they had done these things to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. And many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, see, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. At sundown tomorrow, Passover will begin. It's the actual day. When we think about all these prophecies, all the ones from those first 39 books that we commonly call the Old Testament, all that was fulfilled in detail, every detail of his life. In this we could say, Jesus is the complete fulfillment of prophecy. Everything that went before. Now some of it is yet to be as we sit here sandwiched between his two comings. Did he, in fact, fulfill the prophecies? I want to give you four reasons that we see in this passage that I just read to you. Verse 12 speaks of the feast. This is the Passover that's speaking of. First of all, he was indeed the Lamb. We read it in the early service this morning. We talked about the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. The Passover lamb that these Jews had been rehearsing and the ones who have not accepted his coming are still rehearsing this at Passover. This lamb, the thinking of this lamb, they would slaughter in the original Passover, they slaughtered the lamb and sprinkled the blood over their doorpost and the lintel there. So when the death angel passed over, they were protected because they were under the blood. That is the imagery that we're talking about here. When we say Passover, it is literally death passed over. Jesus would become that fulfillment as he became our lamb, our sacrifice. The lives of these men and women that were gathered there in Jerusalem would be changed forever by the fact of Jesus spilling his blood, becoming our sacrifice on the cross there on that hill outside of Jerusalem. As a second thing, though, we see in this passage, verse 13 speaks of palm branches. He was the king. He's not only the lamb, but he was the king. The people spread out palm branches along the way. They would throw their clothing out there as if they were preparing for the coming of a king. Verse 13 of that John passage, that John 12 passage, actually is quoting Psalm 118, which reads, "Blessed is the king of Israel." Now, at this time, as he was coming in as king, he was coming in on a donkey. Fulfillment of prophecy. As he came the first time as a king, he would come as king of our hearts. He would set up his kingdom where? Now those Jews, they were looking forward to him setting up his kingdom where? A physical, earthly, political, military kingdom, because they were under the oppressive boot of the Romans at that time. They'd known much oppression for many years. When he comes the second time, as we are living right now in anticipation of his coming the second time, he will come as a reigning King of kings and Lord of lords. And he's not going to be coming into town on the back of a donkey when he comes the second time. He was king. That day that we celebrate today, they were honoring him as he was coming into Jerusalem. Now imagine all of this. Imagine the sea of emotion that's going on with all these people that are gathered. They're gathered there for the Passover. And here's Jesus. They've been watching now for at least 3 years. Watching him. There are people in the crowd that are actually have been recipients of his miracles. And we have alluded to here the part of the crowd that is there that was actually there for the raising of Lazarus from the dead. King. Verse 13 also quotes another part of Psalm 118, which says, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." A third descriptor of him, a third fulfillment. He's not only the Lamb, he's not only the King, but he's the Savior. God saves. God saves. Save now. Save now. Come. Save now. Is there another Savior? Sitting in that Seder several years ago with a room full of Jewish people that have not yet received the Messiah. Being the only two Christians, Audrey and I, that were in there, who were messianic, and that we have received the Messiah. And as I said to you a couple of weeks ago, the eerie feeling when they sent the child to open the door for Elijah to come in. The chills that went on my spine there as I thought, here we're reading all this scripture and he is here. The Son of God is here. The Messiah has come. And let me tell you, there are many, many more Jews now that are embracing Jesus. That we see the Lord is doing that all over the earth as he's drawing them back to the land. They're coming back to the land. Fulfillment of prophecy. And they are receiving the Messiah. Many, many more. We just don't hear about them. He is Savior. He is the one who would save us from our sin. What was he about to do? Later on that week, he would be suspended between heaven and earth on a cross and die for the sins of mankind, past, present, and future. But more importantly, he would die for your sin and for mine. Every sin. A fourth fulfillment of that prophecy. And it speaks of it in verses 14 and 15 of the verses we read in John. It speaks of him riding into town on the colt of a donkey. The ultimate act of humility. He came as the suffering servant, the humble servant. Another descriptor of him, humbling himself before the mission that his Father had given him to come to save his people, to live a perfect life, to willingly die on the cross. They did not kill him. He gave his life. At any point in time, you know, he could have called 10,000 angels. Wipe them out. And we tend to be hard on those that were there, but it was your sin and my sin. Every heinous act, every thought that we have had that is not of God, that sent him to that cross because he loved us unconditionally, humbling himself. Now again, I remind you, when he comes a second time, he's not going to come as the humble servant. He's going to come as the reigning king. Well, did he verify himself through what he did? Did he make the point? Well, his disciples verified that. Verse 16 speaks about them. At first, his disciples did not understand all of this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize these things had been written about him and that he had done these things. Eventually, the truth would eventually catch up with them. They verified it. You know, only John of the original 12, put Judas out of the way, but of the 11 that were left, John's the only one that has not proven that he died a martyr's death. And there's some speculation about that, but all the rest would die a martyr's death. And a great book for you to add to your list of Christian books is Fox's Book of Martyrs. Be a great, great book to get in reading the history of the church. All those who have died in their faith. And let me tell you, more people have died for their faith, more people died in the 20th century, than all the other centuries combined. Just to put it in perspective for you. And right now around the world, people are dying for their faith. So not only those disciples, but the disciples that would come after would verify the fact of his identity, that he was indeed the Lamb of God. He's the King of Kings. He is a Savior. He is a suffering servant. Lazarus is referred to in this passage in verse 17 and 18. The testimony of him being raised from the dead, that was a verification of Jesus. Kind of tough to argue with a man that was dead, dead 4 days, and now he's walking around. Wasn't it great to hear that testimony from CY that God continues to do miraculous resurrections? The general population also recognized him. Look at the words that come from the Pharisees in verse 19. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Many people, including his family, had told Jesus not to go to Jerusalem. A trap was waiting him. They feared for his life, and rightly so. He'd had this running conflict with the religious leaders of the day. They refused to recognize his true identity. And yet, you could not stop his revelation of his personhood. They couldn't then, and they can't now. When Jesus comes in, he changes people. They're no longer the same. Who is he to you? Can you ignore the facts that I've presented to you today? course you can't. Can you accept Him as your personal fulfillment of these prophecies? Let me ask you four questions back to those four identifiers: Lamb, King, Savior, Servant. Can He be your Lamb? His blood was spilled on Calvary's tree so that your sin, whether you acknowledge what He did or not, He died for you. That's another way to view the people that are around you, is instead of viewing them as bad, view them as they have not yet received Jesus. That changes your perspective. Can He be your Lamb? Can He be your King? He came so that He could set up His kingdom in your heart to reign and rule there. Can you allow Him to do that? For Him to be Lord over you, what you do and what you say, how you spend your time, how you spend your money, who you're connected to, who you're not connected to, what you do and where you go. Is it your agenda or His? Who's king of your life? You or Him? It's not about your personal preference. Never has been. As soon as personal preference leaks in, who moves on the throne? Can He be your Savior? It's a personal decision for everybody. Save now, save now. Hosanna, save now. Is He your Savior? Have you personally received Him? God has no grandchildren. There are none. Not saved because of the faith of another person. You're saved because you have received Jesus in your life. And finally, will you let Him be your servant? Is He acquainted with your suffering? Is He acquainted with the foibles of your life? Is He acquainted with your sin? Does He know you? Or are we going to act like the idiotic Adam and Eve and try to hide from Him in the garden? Imagine that, trying to hide from God. You see, the suffering servant came so he could get in your stuff. He knows the things in your background. He knows the fact that some of you sitting here today have been abused in your life in the past. He wants to make you whole. He knows where you came from. He knows the secret things that you've never shared with another soul. He knows. He's the suffering servant. Scripture says, He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. So He knows every sin we could ever, every temptation. And He is acquainted with our grief, the things that trouble us. He's that kind of servant. He is literally, He stepped down out of heaven to come and be involved in our lives. He's a suffering servant. Will you let Him serve you? You say, oh no, no, He's God. He's not supposed to do that. He's done it. And He's offering that to you. In arrogance, we'll say, no, no, Jesus, you can't do that. What did Peter say when Jesus was washing the feet? No, no, you can't do that, because no, he wanted to keep Jesus away. It was kind of a paw in the ground, kind of false pride. It's time to let down the barrier and let Him come. We're going to pray and we're going to open up the altar before we come to communion. When we come to the Lord's table, it is so that we can commune with Him. And that means an examination of our lives. Is He your Lamb? Is He your King? Is He your Savior? Is He your servant? Let's pray. And now, Lord, as we come in this time of examination of our lives before You, before we come to the table, we ask You, Lord, speak to us. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to me. You are Lord over everything. Lord, we come and submit ourselves before You right now. And we say, come, Holy Spirit. Come and move in us right now. Come. The altar's open. If you want to come, if you want to come and pray, pastors will be here if you want to pray with one of the pastors today. You come. The altar is open. we continue in an attitude of prayer. Ask yourself this question. What would block my communion with Him today before I come to the table? And ask the Lord to remove that. If it's forgiveness, if it's reconciliation, whatever it is, ask God to take it away. Agree with Him. Agree with the Holy Spirit about what He's revealing to you right now. This is your time. Continue to pray where you are. On the night in which He was betrayed, the Lord took bread and He broke it. And He said, "This is my body which is broken for you." And after supper, He took the cup, third cup of the evening. We're waiting on the fulfillment of the fourth cup. And He said, "This is my blood, which is poured out for the remission of your sin." Broken body and shed blood. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for fulfilling the Passover. For fulfilling all those prophecies. For giving to us the gift of forgiveness of sin. And not, Lord, just the absence of the bad, but your very presence as you have come to tabernacle with us. You have given to us your Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of Jesus Himself. and thank you that you are present here. Thank you. Take this body of Jesus broken for you. Body of Jesus broken for you, Dane. Body of Jesus broken for you, Carol. The blood of Jesus poured out for you, Rick. The blood of Christ poured out for you, Dane. Jesus' blood poured out for you, Carol. Now we invite you to the Lord's table. Come to His table. Experience His presence. Communion with Him right now. I want you to think about these symbols all week as we look forward to celebrating the resurrection. We'd sure like to get those your cards from you, if you have an offering to bring. In the back are those cards. Yeah, hold those up, David, so they can see. Yeah, why don't you hold them at the door for us? Can you do that? Yes, yes. What a lovely couple back there. Look, you know, y'all ought to get married. Have you thought about that? Okay. And maybe have a few children on top of it. David, is there a basket back there? Okay, yeah, we got one. We sure like to get those from you. Scripture says on that day they sang a hymn and departed. We got something we can sing?
Sure.
All right, let's do it.